In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the most lost souls, and for the readings in the vernacular. The lesson comes from the book of Ecclesiasticus. Blessed is the man who is found without blemish, and that hath not gone after gold, nor put his trust in money, nor in treasures. Who is he, and we will praise him? For he hath done wonderful things in his life, who hath been tried thereby, and made perfect, that he shall have glory everlasting. He that could have transgressed, and has not transgressed. He who could do evil things, and has not done them. Therefore are his goods established in the Lord, and all the church of the saints shall declare his alms. Thus concludes the reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, Let your loins be girt and your lamps burning in your hands, and you yourselves like men who shall wait their Lord when he shall come and to return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Amen, I say to you, that he will gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and passing will minister unto them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But this know you, that if the householder did not know at what hour the thief would come, he would surely watch and would not suffer his house to be broken open. Be you then also there ready, for at what hour you think the Son of Man will come, the hour you think not the Son of Man will come. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. You may be seated. For today's Mass, obviously we have a number of commemorations. I realize that I forget to tell you what all those commemorations are often. So today is the Mass of St. Stephen of Hungary. In the ordinary form of the Mass, they changed his feast to be on the 16th of August. So we celebrated it in Fort Sumner. I believe that was a Monday. It was a Monday, because the 15th would be the Feast of the Assumption. So they switched it back over in that direction. Today, the Feast of St. Stephen of Hungary was always celebrated because one of his grandsons, the Emperor Leopold I, won a great victory over the Turks at that time, solidifying the Hungarian rule, retaking of their old capital, which was called Buda. Not like the, it sounds like the same word for that founder of that demonic religion, Buddhism. But it's really a the capital of the Hungarian Empire, at least at that time. That's where it was celebrated at that time, commemorating that victory during those ages. That's why we have it today. But instead of, well, that's what the Mass is being celebrated. Then we commemorate St. Joseph, because why not? He's great. Then we commemorate after that, we do prayers for prayers first for all the grades of, so the Pope, the Bishop, the priesthood, all grades of the clergy. So we pray for those. It's nice to be able to pray for those who are in authority over it. We pray for the liberty of the Church, which all throughout the world, the Church is being attacked, so we pray for that. And then today we added one against pestilence. There's a sweet family in North Dakota who contacted me earlier this week because their crops have been hit with a blight, a fungus that's growing in their potato farm. And if that isn't solved, then they're going to be in really serious financial trouble. So we're praying for that as well. That's all to say, I'm not going to preach on St. Stephen of Hungary because we already did earlier this year. So if you want to know more about that, go to the homily on the 16th. Go to the homily on the 16th and you'll find out about him. I'd rather preach on St. Giles. Do you know who St. Giles is? He would have been celebrated yesterday if we were celebrating his feast day. St. Giles is this amazing figure in history. He had given his life in such an incredible way to the Lord. He was one, as many of the stories, not all of them, say that he was of great wealth at that time. And having received it all, received an inheritance, he had a repugnance within his soul at inheriting so much wealth. He didn't want to be caught up in the things of the world like so many do, find that, what Puff Daddy said, he said, more money, more problems, right? The more difficulty you have in guarding it and caring for it and all the difficulties you have there. And so he didn't want those problems within his life. He only wanted to dedicate himself to the work of God, to the work of God. And so doing that, he found the fastest way of distributing his wealth to make sure that others would have it and that others would be able to possess it, particularly the poor, the lame, the weak, and passing it on to others who would be good stewards of it so that he himself could leave. He was a Greek, and he went as far away as he could, away from his homeland, so he wouldn't even be recognized. He went all the way into the area of France. Now, France wasn't a well-to-do area at that time. It was much wilderness that was there. And so he went and hid himself within the deeper and darker areas that were there, going and just being a man of God, being a man of silence, being a man of prayer. And in this dedication to the Lord in prayer, many people began to find him from time to time. And so they would receive great counsel from him and also good miraculous healings. There's one time where he encountered a beggar when he was walking down a road, and he just took his cloak and saw that he was cold, and who this beggar also was suffering from, I believe he was lame in this way. And so he placed his cloak over him, and as soon as he placed his cloak over them to give him warmth, immediately the man was healed. Immediately the man was healed. And so St. Giles, being one who loved holy solitude with the Lord, knew that he could no longer reside there, because then people would come after him seeking this healing. So it took off further and further into the hills, further and further into the wilderness. Now, St. Giles was one who trusted totally upon the providence of God. Trusting in the providence of God, he would eat only those things that were natural to his area. He would not eat meat or any delicacies like that. Wouldn't hunt, decided that he wouldn't harm any of God's creatures in this way, but only forage or whatever he could. And he would eat herbs, just local herbs that were there, which were not sufficient to keep him alive, in fact. And so he was wasting and wasting and wasting away. But because the Lord sees that there's good within his servants and seeks to provide for them, what miraculously happened was that there was a hind, a deer who would come and visit him at regular intervals and befriended him and was so close to him, because he would also give that hind also some of the food that he had as well, some of the herbs, which she very much desired. And there was a relationship that was developed with them there, that God provided that this hind wished to take care of him. And so she, having been pregnant, then gave him to suck from her own so that he could be fed upon her milk. What a beautiful thing, where this hind sent my God then began to give milk to this man, and that was enough for him to be able to survive in the weakness that he was, nourished at regular intervals. He just trusted in God, and God provided for him in all these ways. Well, trouble was soon to be found within his life, because he was living in an area where the king, the nobleman, and would send out and go hunting for the hinds that were there. And in the hunting party, they tracked down this particular hind that was loved and took care of Holy Giles. Well, seeing that they were there, this hind ran to wherever it was that she would be safe. She knew she would be safe, which was in the same cave in which St. Giles was there hidden. And so she went to him. Not knowing the danger outside, Giles was just calming down his friend who had taken care of him, this beautiful hind. The hunter, seeing where he was, not knowing that Holy Giles was there as well, took aim and shot. Well, they weren't great shots, and so they shot Giles. Shot Giles clear through his hand. And as he cried out in pain from that, they realized, what is this? That's a human voice. And went to go discover what it was, and found there Holy Giles holding onto the hind, calming her down, while at the same time with an arrow through his hand. Now, they tried to give him some medical care, pulled it out of his hand, but he refused to take any ointments or things like that to treat it. He accepted everything that happened to him just as the grace of God that would have it. He deserved it, that he would suffer through it no matter what was going on. And so for the whole of his life, he suffered grievous pains from his hand because it was never treated. Yet he just trusted that God would care for him even in this. Now, because he was known for his holiness, and they recognized that this was the Giles that everybody was talking about, eventually the king said, you must come with us, and there's a monastery out here that has no abbot, and you must become their abbot. He protested again, because all he wanted to do was be by himself, to love God in silence and solitude, and to just give himself to God, and to pray for those who are around, but not to have contact with others. Just the only contact he wished to have was with God himself. So he accepted. He accepted this as a penance further within his life, and began reforming that monastery that was there, making it to be a very holy monastery there within France. And in fact, up to this day, if you do the whole of the Camino of Santiago, it's one of those places on which you would travel to on the path to make to Santiago Compostela, if you were to mark all the traditional route, which is there. Such a great place. In fact, if you look at the great pilgrimage sites in the West, it is one of the three greatest pilgrimages of sites in the West that was known. Santiago Compostela, forget the other one, and the Tomb of St. Giles, which is there, which soldiers and all the like would go to receive great consolation from visiting the relics of this holy man who was there. Now, something for us to meditate on the life of St. Giles. The thing that marked the life of St. Giles is the simple fact that he gave himself totally to God, that he just trusted in him, that he wanted, what did he want most of all? Was just to be alone, just to be alone. And what is the thing that we normally think of when we think of a man who just lives by himself as a bachelor his whole life, goes off in solitude to stay with himself, staying within his own home? What happens to that person? What do we call that person? That's right. Normally we think of him as a great grump, right? As somebody who's just set in his ways, and he's the one who's shaking his cane on the porch and yelling at the kids to get off his lawn, to stay away from him, right? That's what we think of. And that's naturally, in truth, that's naturally what happens to somebody who lives by themselves, gets set within their ways, and sees that their ways are the best. And so there's just this natural movement that I want my things, I know what's right, it works for me, so just don't mess with me. St. Giles wasn't like that, though. St. Giles, when people would come and visit him, welcomed them, gave them good advice, he would pray for them, and then he would send them on their way, even though he didn't want that. Even when he was asked in this moment to go found a monastery, he could have said, look, this is what I was called to do. The Lord has moved, sent me in this direction. Look, this is what I desire for me and God. We have this relationship. We worked out this plan. We have this agreement between the two of us that I stay alone with him and he takes care of me and it's good. That's why he sent this hind to care for me, because I'm supposed to stay here and live out my days. But instead, he allowed his plans to be changed. Even having lived his whole life just by himself in this way, he fought against his human nature, which was to remain as he was, to fight against change, and rather to open himself to whatever that God had in store for him, to accept whatever God desired for him, to see that even having a wound through his hand in this way, well, that's God's gift to me. I will allow that to remain and to suffer in this way through it. St. Giles was the one who totally accepted God's divine providence, and because of that, became the great saint that he is. In fact, if you look at the annals of history, you'll find that his name is numbered. This man who stayed all by himself and never desired to be a part of anybody else's life, he's one of those who's listed among the 14 holy helpers. The 14 holy helpers being those 14 great saints that all throughout the medieval ages, people would invoke for great help and would indeed get them, like St. Christopher, St. Anthony, St. Barbara, all these great saints that you can find them. And not only that, St. Giles, this one who kept to himself so much, was listed among those 5 holy saints. Those 5 holy saints who are invoked with even greater desire. You can look up more of that on your own if you desire to know who the rest of those saints are who were there. But to see that God would take somebody who only dedicated himself just to holy silence and to raise him up and to do great things through him should remind you and I of the great things that he can do with you and me. First, to not get set in our own ways. It's easy to do. Me as a priest, you within your own vocations to get set within our ways and to say, well, my way is going to be the way that it's going to be because I've worked out a plan with my family, with my job, with my life, between me and God. Well, God is a God who always surprises, a God who always brings about change, who doesn't want you and me to remain comfortable in where we are, but always wants to bring us out of our comfort and into embracing the cross so that we can find God's greater work for us, which is not about merely our salvation, but doing the work of God within this world until he finally takes us home. And beyond that, to have a deep and profound trust in providence. In providence. That when God calls us to go to a place, when we follow him radically, that he does take care of us. Maybe not in the way that you and I would like in comfort, maybe not in the plans that you and I would desire, but by relying upon God in his divine providence, that he does cause things to work out for our good. Don't forget that blessed passage of St. Paul where he speaks in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. And so it is. Holy Giles trusted in God's divine providence, and he allowed God to change his plans, and because of that, he became a great saint. Let us ask the Lord to do the same for you and I through the inspiration given to us this day by Holy Giles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.